Boy, my 7-year-old sure can be a pain sometimes. I can't afford to feed him, and I don't enjoy cleaning up after him. But what's an uneducated working mother to do? It's too late for an abortion.
Not so fast. I'm Dr. Marvin Niles for the Downtown Postnatal Abortion Clinic. Some believe life begins at conception, others at birth. But here at the Downtown Postnatal Abortion Clinic, we believe life begins at age 8. Just because a fetus has come to term and passed through the birthing canal does not mean it cannot be terminated in a humane manner. Rid yourself of the burden as our certified medical technicians beat your child senseless, then suck him into a special vacuum chamber. Bringing all life functions to a swift and painless halt.
Get in the car, Jimmy.
Step 1 ice cream cone. I want an ice cream cone.
Well, Jimmy, normally I frown on between meal sweets. But this time, what the heck?
The postnatal abortion. It's more than possible. It's okay. Downtown across from Wally Waffles.
Sure, other stations promise outstanding content. But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio. A cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Yes, we've all been stuck behind you, sir, wondering aloud, is he going to turn here? No. Maybe at the next? No. Then maybe? No.
You're gonna cause a five-car pileup.
Perhaps, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, you are simply on a personal mission to drive around the entire globe slightly to the left.
I'd honk my horn, but you wouldn't notice.
Apparently, you don't notice anything.
Maybe you'll notice this obscene gesture, yeah.
You believe a left turn signal should be left on, and your right turn signal feels so right, you never shut it off. And so we dub you, Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy Who Leaves His Stupid Blinker On.
Oh, he must be turning here. Nope. Oh, dear. Oh.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.
Man, good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. You look chipper.
Well, it is September 30th, the end of the month.
Woohoo, time for rent. Yeah.
Did you have to remind me?
I had to borrow money is what I had to do. So much for changing jobs.
Well, yeah, you know, it's that's life for you.
Yeah. Well, I have good news, though. I went yesterday, as everyone knows, to the lady doctor, to the gyno, and I went, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago about having a lump or thinking that I did.
Yes.
And, of course, going to the doctor is like going to the mechanic whenever that, you know, you want to show them something and just suddenly not there. Like, there's a really loud squeak in my car, and then it's not there. So I had to explain to her what's usually there, and she was like, well, good news is cancer doesn't come and go.
Really?
I said, she was like, so it could be hormones. And then, of course, I thought of Crazy Mutant Lady, and I was like, I am hormonal. So no cancer for me.
No cancer. Well, wonderful. And so let's bring in our guest here. Good morning to you.
Morning.
And we have Becky here, and you look all ready to go and stuff, right?
I hope I do.
Yeah.
Well, you're here and awake, so that's ready for Sam.
Yeah. 8 a.m. is amazing when you're not used to it.
Yeah. You're not used to it. What time do you usually get up?
Oh, well, if I'm not doing radio, it's much later.
Really?
It's like a 10 or 11. Because if I'm, you know, sometimes doing theater or something else, and that's a late night job.
I wake up at 7 every day now, even on my weekends. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. You get into it.
Yeah, now I'm like, I don't need to be up.
I can get back into it, definitely. It takes a little adjusting.
What time did you used to get up before the show?
Eight.
Eight? Okay.
I mean, not crazy late.
Oh, that's so unfair.
Well, no, it's only because I had... I moved into this new apartment in West Hollywood, and so I have a view of the hills, mm-hmm. and so I didn't want to put curtains on my window because I woke up every morning all inspired, like the sound of music. I was like, oh,
nice.
But then I realized that I wasn't sleeping past like sunrise, really. And I started really, like, getting dark circles under my eyes, yeah. so I was like, okay, time to get curtains. So I finally started sleeping in
The problems.
I know, yeah. Vanity. I'm so vain.
Well, I just got back from Chicago, and out there, all bars are open to like 4 a.m., uh-huh. and then there's, you know, someone's house until 6 a.m., and so I'm just getting back into the mode after that.
Yeah, when I moved out here, I was like, 2 o'clock, and then they do last call at 1:30. Right. I'm like, you got to get to the bar at 2 in the afternoon.
Right.
Yeah, you really do. Exactly. And if you want to eat, forget about it. There's nothing open. <Yeah. you> know?
It's so true. I mean, you'll be at Ralph's in the middle of the night.
That's the best time, though. You
right.
know.
I've had some super fun, but I end up like squeezing all the fruits or something while I'm drunk.
I'm always with the guy who eats the sushi straight out of the plastic, and you're like, so embarrassed, and he's shoving it in the aisle somewhere going,
I'm sorry, when I'm drunk, I do not crave sushi. I mean, I love sushi, but I'm not like, ooh, I want raw fish right now.
I'm always with a thief when I'm drunk. It's like, or they are. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the most embarrassing thing. It's like, too drunk to care. You know
that? So you live out your alter personality.
Not me. Like, I'm always with the guy who is living out their alter personality.
But wasn't he that way before he got drunk?
I don't think so. You know what? That's the ultimate question, isn't it?
All right. Well, it's time to figure that one out.
Well, you're the one that said you just met someone recently. We could start with you.
Wait, what?
No, she hasn't met anybody.
Thanks. She's going to have 8,000 cats and be alone for the rest of her life. Yeah. Hi, welcome to my life.
She met her gynecologist. That's about it.
I didn't get wet, though.
No.
I got some emails yesterday though about that, because when I talked to like, a lady doctor, someone wrote, it was like, try not to get wet, and I was like, why did I say that on air?
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm there, I'm just like, okay, it's not exciting. Although she was like, this is so much information, but she was like, I can't find your cervix, and I'm just like, clear the cobwebs first. I was thinking that in my head.
And then she was, maybe the hymen is in the way.
it regrew. All right, well, now everyone knows I can't find my cervix. Back to you, Becky.
Oh, yeah.
What How's your cervix?
What age did you lose your virginity?
15.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, another one in the group.
Another year.
Another whore in the group.
Hey, in my neighborhood, that was late.
All right.
So did you grow up in Chicago?
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
And when did you move here?
Oh, God. Like 10 years ago, I think.
Oh, I see. So you've been here for a while.
Yeah.
You're local.
I feel like it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chicago's an amazing city.
It's really fun. To me, it's like, but going home, it's like Vegas now.
Yeah.
It's like debauchery. It's too much fun. You know?
Really?
Like, get me home.
Yeah. I went there once, and I've always thought about living there, but it's too Midwest, I guess. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I know it's a perfect combination of, like, you know, good people and then, like, urban life.
Oh, yeah. And I always come back sounding like this.
All right. You know, well, see, that's why I don't want to live there.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a middle America, I guess. Well, I don't know if it's middle America, but, like, no accent or something, except for saying, like.
Like, or like. You know, California's got a little bit of a laid-back kind of tone. Mm-hmm. So tone, yeah. Sound, that's a little California.
As well as, well as with them, as well as they have Mexican accents, too.
There's that.
Yeah. Let's totally stereotype everything. Why not?
I've learned from watching you.
Yeah. I love stereotypes. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Bring them on.
Yep. Yeah, we've got a lot of this down, that's for sure.
Aren't a bunch of LA people, I mean, yeah, Californians are all like stoners too.
Yeah, that's why she was talking like that.
Yeah.
But not everybody talks like that.
Basically, like, even the like exec is kind of showing up and sounded a little slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of this guy that we interviewed for the Motley Crue book.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be here on Monday.
Uh-oh.
And that's going to be amazing. I mean, the reason I thought about it, he sounds like a total stoner and everything.
He sounded super fun on the phone and everything. I was like, he's an exciting
guy.
I gotta stay away from him.
You never
know. I won't
show
up for work the next day.
You never know.
You're like looking at me with these weird eyes.
Well, I don't have weird eyes.
No, not normally. Right now they do.
I know. I thought I'd give you a hard time. Since she gives me a hard time on Facebook all the time, she doesn't leave me alone.
Okay, it's just me.
Making me see how negative I am.
Well, if you like receive his response to posts, everything is like, no money equals depression.
Oh, yeah, well, your friend started that.
No, but did you actually read the article? The article was saying this is the healthiest people have ever been with the bad economy.
Oh, really?
You
I didn't read the positive article. I just read his post.
He's like, because the economy is terrible. But wait, Sam, no, you're healthy.
Yeah, he went and took like this really great article and was like, wow, sucks life. I'm just like, good job, Sam. Bring the rest of Facebook down now.
Okay, so you explained that to me. How can people be healthier with a bad economy?
I don't know. I barely read it.
Okay, thank you.
No, it was something I guess you have nothing else to
see, the point is just to make me feel like shit.
Yeah,
nothing else matters.
No, it was something about like you have to like look forward. You have to find the good in something. So they're like, I have no money, so you know, maybe I'll
run.
I don't know.
I'll do a lot of running.
I can't afford to go out anywhere, so I'll just exercise.
Yeah. Right. I'm sure you feel great about not having money, right? It's like the best thing that happened to you.
Do I look
miserable?
Well,
you know what? That's what it is. Everyone's unemployed. They've got all this time on their hands to go jogging and swimming. And
yeah. Well, I mean, as far the reason why I'm happy is because I talk about how broke I am, so then people take me out and pay for me. So
yeah,
of course
there
I'm
you
happy.
Go.
That only works for so long. Take it from me. I got a roommate who's like,
oh no, it's been working for 35 years.
Oh no. You've got the charm then. You got something else going on.
She still hasn't figured out she needs a sugar daddy. You know.
I have them in small ways. I mean, even some of my friends, like my friends are always saying, how do you have people that go and buy you stuff? Like, I got a trip to Europe. I got a car.
Really?
Yeah. I got a trip to Hawaii. I got a laptop.
Wow.
Like, these are all from friends.
Really?
That I don't have to do anything for.
A fucking car?
I know.
Are they listening now? Because you're going to blow it, man.
Yeah. Actually,
no wonder she doesn't complain. She gets everything she wants.
But for a reason.
Yeah.
I guess because I'm nice to them.
Yeah, there you go. You've earned it.
It comes back to you. And then I go home and I like write all this crazy, nasty stuff about people. That's where I take out all my negativity. Why can't I say negativity? I said it yesterday on air, too. I go negativity.
Negativity.
Because I'm not used to saying it.
Yeah.
That's why.
I see. Yeah, it's not in your vocabulary.
No.
Exactly.
See? All right.
Yeah.
So, back to you, Becky.
So, Becky, yeah.
I see what my purpose is here.
Sorry,
now.
I can just talk for 2 hours about me.
Good, let's do it. You might say a lot of shit you don't want to say.
I don't know if I can get worse. Yes, I could get worse. So,
Becky, you grew up in Chicago, and at what point did you decide you're going to move?
I finished high school. I went to 1 year in London. I studied some classical theater in London.
Too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you go to Lambda?
Back to me again. Did you notice?
Jesus Christ. Name dropper story.
That's why she's got
here.
A fucking show.
So back in 1994.
Sherry, we were talking about Sherry.
So you studied in the same place?
No. I studied through Syracuse. They had their own, you know, campus over there in London.
Oh, okay.
And you went through your school, too.
No.
Oh, okay.
I went on my own.
Oh, nice.
On my own. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I did that
wow.
at 15.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's all coming back now because we're talking about that era.
That's musical theater, Sam.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about that.
No. I'm just sitting here like, what's
I actually on? Don't either. I was never in the musical theater department. Until recently have I gotten into musicals. Have you been watching Glee?
I have 3 episodes to watch. I watched the first one and I was like, this is fun. And then I saw they had like 2 more to watch or 3. And I'm like, it's a lot of commitment to not being a reality TV show.
Oh, dude. No, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. You know, I saw like this really straight guy. He did a Facebook status, and he was like, "Glee is the best show on the air."
Yeah.
And I'm just like, "Fag!" No,
it takes the hater out of you.
Yeah, really.
It's like, yeah, everyone's.
You don't know
it's
what Sam
Glee
do you?
Club.
Have Shut up! It's not about hatred.
No, that's not.
See, I expect her.
Yeah. No. So you just totally
he
attacked me out
right
of
off.
Nowhere. So you were just expecting me. I was asking you if you know the show.
Oh, I don't know the show.
Wow.
You're just too fast for me sometimes. I can't keep up.
No, it's a great show. You got to check it out. It's Wednesday nights.
I'll check it out.
You'd right. think yeah. I knew someone on it.
There's a lot of good shows. I don't watch any TV. I never get never find any time to watch TV. I don't know.
You're reading too much.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, I'm that's a bad thing. Stop reading so much and sit in front of the idiot.
Exactly. And be as passive as hell. You know?
Turn into me.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been falling asleep every time I try to watch TV, so I just figure, you know, the hell with it. You know?
Well, like watching like PBS doesn't count.
Yeah.
Look at the birds.
Now, what are good shows? I mean, what do you like to watch?
You're talking to the wrong person.
That's
I watch
true.
Reality.
Yeah, only reality show.
Well, to be honest, Sam, I'm kind of with you. I don't watch a hell of a lot of TV until someone showed me Hulu.com, and now I can watch whatever the
Everyone
hell I want.
Everyone talks about Hulu.
Because you can watch what you want. I mean, I'm not home at the right times is kind of my problem. I like to check out television. I love documentaries, though, and I do love PBS.
Uh-huh.
But Glee is just one of those shows that are it's
by the way,
pretty
TiVo
hilarious.
Does the same thing Hulu does.
I don't have any of that. Okay. I don't. We're talking to like bare bones over
okay,
here.
Right. We're all broke
if I could
right
live
now
in a tent, I would. You know what I mean? Like, I was just, but you know, I have Boost Mobile for Christ's sake as my phone today. In this
nobody
day
has Boost Mobile.
No, I'm the loser who went for Boost Mobile. But let me tell you what.
But now you know why.
You know who no has Boost Mobile?
Only you.
People who don't want credit checks.
Right.
Yeah. And it's prepaid, so it's people who don't if they can't afford it this month, mm-hmm, they'll afford it next month. Like it's an optional. And I gotta say, like, and here back to stereotypes. Mm-hmm. Okay, you call the helpline. It's not like, you know, 3 minutes until the next representative to your call,
like
right?
3 seconds.
No, it's like this. Yo, man, you're on hold for Boost Mobile. Now, I'll give you a minute. You'll get a representative on the phone to help you. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Are you fucking serious?
Well, you get what you pay for.
I was like, I just bought the ghetto phone. Yeah. That's
awesome.
What I did.
I love that they're reps. Like, usually they're from India.
Yo,
these reps are from Compton.
If you want a new ringtone, one that sounds like this. Ptoom, ptoom, ptoom. You're like, oh, no, no.
That's awesome. I want to call customer service just to hear that.
Yeah, right.
That's great.
So what made you want to decide to move here?
Oh, it's back to me again. Yeah, I was so Sherry, you know.
Now, how old were you when you moved?
I was 19.
I see. So pretty young.
I went to London when I was 19. I skipped the whole college thing, other than the 1 year in London.
Mm-hmm. You didn't really need college for theater.
Not for what I was doing. No, and I thank my lucky stars I didn't do that, because all my friends are like $300,000 in debt right now.
I actually don't have any loans.
Yeah, and
I got scholarships and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And then I had an inheritance too.
Wow.
What? Yeah. We got an inheritance baby
lucky
in the house.
Shit here.
Jesus.
You don't have to work a day in your life.
Right. No wonder she's all shiny, happy people.
Yeah,
or whatever.
There you go.
I go and wait tables it's every freaking night. Waiting tables is one of the hardest jobs out there.
It is.
Let me
it really
explain
is
that to you.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I
so whatever, people.
I've done it.
I do live above my lifestyle. I do. But that's because my mom did that like our whole lives. Yeah. And that's why she's in so much debt and why I have credit problems.
I know. I'm the same way.
Yeah. I blame it all on my parents.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then you go and try to buy things, and they're like, excuse me, you already owe $100,000.
I went to go get my car a few months ago, and I told them straight up before we even started, I was like, listen, this is how my credit is. I went and told them, so like there was no surprises, and they're like, so they tried showing me like all the cheapest cars, and they're like, you know what, let's go check your credit. And I was like, okay, good luck with that one. They came out, and they're like, you're fine. And I'm like, I'm fine.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, then I realized that there was stuff on my credit report that's not mine.
Oh, really?
But it's helping my credit.
Fantastic.
It was like there was like a Sears card on there from like 1977, and in my head I'm like, I was 3 years old. I'm like, but I've been paying it since 77.
Wow.
And a couple of other things, and I was like, okay, just yep, it's fine, it's great. My credit score's up there.
Wow.
Yeah, well,
that's
cool.
When does that ever happen, Sherry?
To
weird
me.
To her. Yeah, she's very positive.
She's pissing rainbows
she
over there.
I knew you were gonna say manifesting things.
Oh man.
Let's manifest some sleep for you.
Yeah, there you go. I need that. Yeah. So you went to London, and you were there for a year?
I was there for 1 year. I did the 1 year program.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Cool.
It was. I lived in Earl's Court and in Vauxhall.
Okay.
Just south of the Thames, in the ghetto area once again.
Really?
But of London.
You
that
sure know how to find them.
I sure do, right? Yeah. Well, this girl comes up to me, and she's like, right, you want to be my roommate? And I was like, sure. Okay, great. I know a place where we can like really afford it. It'd be great. And she found me what they call their the commons, which is their essentially their projects. Okay, but we had a 3-bedroom, 2-floor apartment building that we lived in for very cheap. I can't remember like what it was at the time, but it was very cheap. And, you know, in their ghetto, no one's got a gun. So it's kind of like...
like the police.
It was fabulous. I was like, what are you going to do, chase me? You know, like I'm young and sprightly.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> Well, then it's great that you're an awesome place because no one wants to live there, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. But the cops there in London don't have guns, right?
They don't have guns either.
Guns.
It's the stop or I'll say stop again.
I don't get that. They're like, stop. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah, they just chase them like in the cartoons, you know?
That's how I picture it, like Benny Hill.
With a baton.
Till they tire and retreat to the pub for another Mickey. Yeah. So I spent a year there, and then I moseyed on over to Thailand.
I see. So, I mean, did you feel
Texas? Like, I took the old horse and saddle.
So, did you fit in pretty well there, or
in London?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was the first time I'd ever been out of the country. I was shell-shocked. I wanted to come home for the whole first 3 months, but I'm so glad I didn't. And, after a while, I got to meet, like, a ton of people from different countries all coming together for one program.
Right.
So there's people from Greece and France and Australia and Canada and, you know, and Ireland and England.
They think
and,
we're loud and obnoxious over there.
Yeah.
And I got told that.
Yeah, Sherry.
Yeah, well, no, speak for yourself.
No, it's this running joke with my friends that I studied with. We were sitting on the bus, and I was busy being my loud mouth self, and this woman goes, would you shut up? Your voice is so annoying. And I just looked at my friends, and I was like, oh, my God. And, like, until this day, it was actually written on my Facebook page yesterday. Yeah. I never lived it down. I was like, I love Londoners.
No, they don't hesitate to tell you exactly what's going on.
Really? Yeah. You would think they're, like, really polite and wouldn't.
Not that bitch.
No.
Yeah.
Did you used to put on an accent when you lived there and try to fit in?
I couldn't stop the accent.
Yeah.
It drifted in within a month. I was sounding like a Brit.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I tried doing it.
I didn't try. I tried not. I mean, like, I'd call home and I'd get the wrath from my parents.
Uh-huh.
I can't understand a goddamn thing you're saying.
Are your parents?
No, they were Southern. I was going to say that was Southern. I'm all over the map. But no, they got the horrible Chicago.
That sounds like Kentucky.
It's kind of, well, no, it's more like the lateral, like you're smiling
God,
all the time.
I hate that accent.
Yeah. And they have no idea they have one.
Right, of course.
You're the one that, like, sounds funny.
Right, exactly. It's funny.
So how are the men in England? Did you hook up with anybody?
I would have to say that English men have the smallest.
No teeth.
No teeth and the smallest penises I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe there's the occasional one, but, like, no, they're pretty unfortunate in that department.
Didn't miss out on anything then.
No.
Good.
No, the Englishman. But you know what? There was a lot of variety there. I didn't have just English.
Well, you know, they didn't need big dicks because they got away with their accents. They were just hot, just sitting there listening to them.
Is that,
you know? Yeah. And then I'm going to fuck you. And I'm like, all right.
Absolutely.
Or just talk to me dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck me, but not with your penis, right?
Just with your mouth.
Just with your words. Fuck me with your words.
So you like big penises, I take it.
What girl doesn't? Jesus Christ.
Really, I'll
so
take
with
it
you,
any
it's
size.
Like the bigger the better, or is there like a limit?
No doubt.
No doubt.
No
huh?
doubt. The bigger the better.
So you'll take a 12-incher, no problem.
I love how we're going straight to that.
I know. It wasn't even like an in between.
Well,
of all.
You're the one who brought up the penises,
no, you're right,
not me.
Right. I'm not shy.
And then Sam just jumps at it.
Exactly. I just capitalize
like,
on it.
There's my doorway.
No, I definitely the bigger the better. I've got a black boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now?
Smart one. Yeah. Does he have single friends?
Currently, and he does. He's a fireman.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yummy, yummy.
We
I'll
are
bring you over.
And
they, yeah, I know. They've been like, why aren't you bringing any girls over? I was like, oh, no problem. No problem.
Hello. Hi.
Well, so, we'll get to that in a minute. Right. That sounds pretty interesting to me. But I imagine he's got a pretty big one, right? Or are we generalizing here?
You know what? No, he's well. He's well to go.
He's well. Okay.
He's good. Good to
not
go.
All black
but you know,
like
it's
that,
not
obviously.
Like
no, they
yeah,
all
no.
are.
They all are.
No, they aren't. They aren't. But it's not all, but it's not like I mean, his isn't like the like what I expect. To be honest, I was like, ha ha, got myself a black man. I can't wait. Drop those pants. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, he's great. It's great, but it's
right.
like
but it's
not
huge,
like the
yeah,
they really put her hand out.
Like the baby's arm, shebang. It wasn't exactly like, you know, the porn.
But it fills you up.
Nothing's like the porn. Those are fake. It's gotta be. It's like
it's not
then
fake.
When they
come on, they just find the ones with the big ones.
Yeah. No, but have you seen the like the orgasm ones where it looks like you're pouring a gallon of milk over someone's
oh,
face?
Oh, that part.
Well, that's
yeah, it's disgusting. Even I, who like, you know, I'm just like, ah.
Nah.
Yeah. Like nothing's that big and comes that much.
And sometimes they have those like really huge dicks.
That's what I'm saying. And they're holding it with
know,
two hands.
Yeah, you know those are fake.
That's
obviously.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. Okay, I didn't realize that. I mean, they don't have that a lot, you know.
Those are like elephant trunks.
Yeah, I know. It's like who gets turned on by that? You know?
You can't even do anything with that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
except
it's got,
laugh.
Yeah. It needs the bigger it is, doesn't it? I'll just come out and say I like porn and I watch a lot of it. And the bigger the
ugh,
cock,
you're a demon.
And the harder it is to get this thing erect. It's like, you know, it takes hours. Like filling up the hose. You know what I mean? It's like
lockjaw before you even start.
And that's less interesting to me than a normal size penis that is like, yeah, you know, gonna do its job.
I've never met a girl who loves porn and says penis instead of cock.
Yeah. I'm still getting my bearings. I'm like, yeah, we're on internet. I could say any goddamn motherfucking goddamn cock second thing I want.
All right, amen.
That's fucking right.
The little radio that I've been doing was radio like on, you know, whatever.
Yeah. On the radio?
Radio.
Well, you can't say anything you want.
You can't say anything. Yeah. Constantly.
I don't think I ever want to do radio.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to do.
They've like, I'd constantly be bleeped out.
Yeah, no, right.
Yeah, there you go. It's like, what would you talk about, right?
Yeah. You find creative politics. Ways to explain. No.
Wow. So, I got to tell you, I got to come clean with this one. I was watching RedTube.
Said come. RedTube
the other day.
I've turned people on to RedTube.
What is
RedTube? Oh, you don't know RedTube?
No.
Oh, it's going to be your best friend.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you like porn, you got to go to RedTube.
Yeah, so
it's like YouTube.
You
but
porn? For porn.
Yeah, or you porn. Yeah,
you porn
I think
is the
it's
same
similar,
thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
RedTube.
Categories and everything. And then you could just put your little mouse over it, so it gives you like a quick little, you know, thing of what you're going to see.
That's you porn
as
well.
Don't like waste your time.
Kind of. Really? Okay. I never noticed that feature
before. Oh, yeah,
before.
Just take your little mouse and like your pointer or whatever and go cursor and go over it, and it'll show you like a quick clip of what you're going to see. Yeah.
I see, really?
That way you don't have to
waste
your time.
Well, apparently I can't wait. You know, I just go straight into the action, you know. But I started telling you, so I went into this. I like to find the solo scenes and stuff. So this girl was lying on the floor, and she had like the biggest fucking dildo you've ever seen, right? I mean, you know, just in girth, it had to be like 20 inches or something. And she's sticking it in and pretending to enjoy this. And I'm thinking, you know, I mean, at what point is it like too much? You know?
Childbirth?
I love that you're watching porn and analyzing it.
Well, you've got to. You
know? No, you're also just sit back and enjoy it. Unless you're a critic and you're going to write a review.
Yeah, but that's not a turnout. I mean, because you know she's faking everything, you know?
Right, no.
And she's too busy trying to insert it and stuff. Yeah.
She has to have, like, help holding it.
Yeah. Well, we got to be clean in the next 5 minutes because we got an interview.
And we're so gonna... Get it all out now.
We were so clean yesterday. Like, now we have to, like, throw it. We're like, okay, sex, cock, fuck. I'm like, ooh, back in my element. I don't have to try to act smart.
I know, like try to catch up, right?
Okay.
Oh, man. We got a phone call, and I think that's our guest. I don't know why
they're
calling us.
They don't
want to
be on the show anymore.
Good morning.
Right.
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this? Hello? You're on the air. Are you our guest?
I don't think they're anywhere.
No. Okay.
Are you pranking us?
They ain't talking, man.
They backed out after listening to us. I'm not going to be on that show.
Yeah, right? You foul mouth.
No, that's a number we're supposed to call, I think. So we'll see in a minute.
Who is our guest?
Pretty weird.
Are you going to read?
Actually, we should introduce this, Sherry. Why don't you go ahead?
Let's just start talking to her about her sex life.
So we have an author, and her name is Lise Elliott. And the book is Pink Brain, Blue Brain, How Small Differences Grow Into Troublesome Gaps and What We Can Do. We'll talk to her about it in a minute and stuff. But, it's funny that they're calling. Now they're calling me, you see.
On your cell phone?
Yeah, my cell phone.
That doesn't work.
It's like, really what
good,
is this?
That's really good quality. Put the phone up against the
microphone. Speaker.
So basically the difference between men and women. And why men suck.
Yeah, that's what she wrote me.
He like sent me the link to the author in the book, and I read the title, and that's immediately what I thought. It was like, okay, so we're going to explain why men suck.
Yeah. We could go on all day.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let us try and call them instead, and we'll see what happens. Maybe they're... sometimes it happens, you know, where they think they have to call in and stuff. Happened a couple times.
Maybe they were calling to cancel. Yeah. To
yeah, right on the air, right?
Sam's being optimistic. We'll go with it.
This is Lee Elliott in the Department of Neuroscience. Please leave me a message.
Okay.
Oh, that's... Wow, we're talking to someone serious.
Jesus Christ. I didn't put my thinking cap on today.
I don't know if I own one.
No, but I think she's a brain. She's a scientist, you know? So it's going to be pretty cool. I like this kind of stuff. But okay,
that's why we have this. You're the smart one. Yeah.
You've already figured like, that out about me.
Well, he has that side. I have the spiritual side. So he thinks for me on some things.
Yeah, every time we bring up politics, our heads start spinning.
I tried though. Once I knew I was going to be on the show, like I tried reading these, you know, political headlines, and all I see is wah wah wah.
Yeah,
I
know.
I want to I want to understand. Yeah, like, I do it. Just like it seriously like blows my head up.
Yeah,
like,
it's boring.
House of Representatives, Senate, red tube.
You know.
Your hand drifts slowly into the next page of your internet.
But I actually want to talk to you, Sam, though, at some point when about the whole Iran thing going on, because I think it's super interesting that you're from Israel, so I'm really curious
You
know,
I was curious where you were from, Sam.
Yeah.
I was trying
Now you know.
Are you, now you do know. No Hispanic in you, though?
No Hispanic.
Where is that
at all.
Accent coming from?
That's Israeli accent, except I've been here 32 years, so it's kind of like my own accent.
Huh. Why do I think you're only here 8 years?
8 years?
Or maybe that's your wife.
Really? Yeah. My wife's been here about 8 years.
32 years?
32, 33 years.
32
I've been
fucking
here.
Years. Yeah. No wonder why you're like an American now. I was wondering how like you got so bitter.
Yeah. No, I love this place. Are you kidding? There's no better place in the world, I'm telling you. And I've been to many places, you know.
Yeah.
But
32 years,
but this is it. Yeah. I mean, this is my home now, and it has been for a while.
Yeah. Well, you just talked about how like crazy things were over there, so I thought like since you've only been here 8 years, you'd love it still.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do. Oh,
but
you
mean you went to some
Elliot in the department.
Yeah. Okay, we'll try in a couple more minutes. I'm sure. Should we play their message for my cell phone and we'll see what's going on?
Yeah, maybe she's telling you something.
Yeah. Well, let's
see. Talk about your boyfriend's cock while he's on the phone.
You're really going to chase away all my guests, aren't you?
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. Neuroscience.
Let's see. Let's play this. Hold on a second.
That's about all I've got.
Hi. They gave you my office number, and I'm actually still home this morning. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you better call that
All right,
number.
So we better call the other number.
She's probably loving listening to her message on the air.
Well, I didn't want to alienate the guests. I mean, the listeners, you know. So I figured we might as well.
And she's leaving you a message about this death in her family or an illness.
I know.
Yeah.
She's like,
no, that would be sad there.
I have a feminine problem.
But let's try. Well, I'm glad she called because they did give me a backup number, but I didn't know if...
She's probably like, listen to my message, damn it.
Yes. Well, that's a good thing she called. She just didn't realize she was going to be on the air.
She's a neuroscientist. She's smart.
Yes, Lise, good morning. This is Sam and calling you with Sherry and Becky in the studio. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good.
Good. Luckily, you left us a message saying you had the other number because we tried you the other one and there was no answer.
Yeah. Should I call you? Can I call you back from the landline?
You actually sound very good. So if you don't mind it, we can just leave it this way.
I'm getting a little bit of an echo.
Okay.
So
okay. Call us back then.
This number?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'll call right away.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
I thought you'd say she's out of minutes.
This is live radio.
Get Boost Mobile, babe.
Yeah. No, she sounded good, actually.
Yeah,
you know?
No, she did.
Yeah.
Well, but you
that's
know, it's
okay.
Not all about us. She,
no, it's not.
Well, it is all about
Sometimes
me.
Sometimes I forget. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Lise, is that you?
Yes.
Yes, good morning. Do you hear us better now?
Yeah, that's great.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Where are you calling us from? What part of the country are you?
I'm in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
We have a native Chicagoan here.
What part of Chicago are you from?
I live actually in Lake Bluff, which is straight north, pretty far, about 30 miles or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I still consider myself Chicago.
Okay.
Oh,
except that you don't have the accent.
Well, not everybody does, you know.
I thought they all did.
No. No.
Lise, so I take it you're a scientist, right?
Right. I'm a neuroscientist, you know, which means I study the brain from the synapses up all the way up to, you know, our gyri and sulci, the grooves up in your head.
Wow. Well, obviously, we don't know anything about that, but I guess it takes a while to learn all this stuff. How long have you been doing this?
20 years now, I guess, if you include all the education. Mm-hmm. But it's a fascinating field. I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, the brain is fascinating. And
it is.
So you wrote a book called Pink Brain, Blue Brain, And I started reading this. Obviously, there's a lot of information there, a lot of scientific stuff as well. But give us the essence of the book and what it's about.
Sure. Well, actually, I had written one previous book called What's Going On in There, which was to explain to parents how the brain itself develops and what that means for, you know, what babies and children can do at different ages. And along the way, I had come across certain studies that found differences between boys and girls. So I decided to dedicate my second book to that topic, this Pink Brain, Blue Brain. And of course, as a parent, I have a daughter and two sons. Mm-hmm. I was endlessly interested, as many of us are, in the differences between them. But to be honest, after I'd spent a couple of years researching all the scientific literature, I was getting pretty frustrated because in spite of what seemed like such obvious differences between boys and girls' behavior, I just wasn't finding good solid evidence for mm-hmm. differences in their brains. And this has kind of become modern folklore that, you know, boys and girls have different brains and we need to teach them differently, and some people even think we need to send them to separate schools because their brains are so different. Well, I'm afraid the people that are telling parents that are not actually neuroscientists, because when you look at the data, the differences are very small, which doesn't mean, you know, there aren't differences in the way boys and girls' brains work, but it suggests to me that things may not be as hardwired as people believe, that boys and girls don't pop out with totally different abilities. Mm. But instead, as my title suggests, I believe what happens is there's small biases that are set up by prenatal testosterone, frankly, affecting the male brain, making it different from the female brain. Mm-hmm. But that in infants and children, young children, the differences are still pretty small, and then what happens is they get amplified by all the learning and all the gender differences we kind of impose on them.
Right. So you're saying that nature and nurture both exist there when kids develop?
Absolutely.
Right.
That's right. Only I think that parents' view of this has shifted a little bit too far to the nature side lately. We tend to write off everything as some hardwired Mars-Venus difference, when in fact we need to look a little more closely at the way we treat boys and girls, at how their own peer groups actually socialize them to be boys or girls, and what that does to their various thinking and emotional abilities. And particularly the way they spend their time, and what kids do with their brains is what their brains end up good at later in life.
Right. So, I mean, is this necessarily a bad thing that we create the differences between them as they grow?
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, men and women have different responsibilities in life to a large extent, especially when become parents. Men still can't have babies and nurse them. But, you know, our society, at least American society, you know, Lord knows other societies are quite different, but in American society, we are more and more expecting men and women to be able to do the same things, to both be nurturing, loving, supportive parents, to be able to cooperate and compete in the workplace together, to be leaders, to be followers, to be good at verbal skills, math skills. We're kind of expecting more gender neutrality in society, and so I think the better we can cultivate this broad array of talents in all our children, regardless of gender, is going to be beneficial.
Right. So you're saying keep the differences, but still not not direct them necessarily in a certain direction, and let them choose, you know, whether they want to play with dolls or with, you know, with trucks and things like that. So I guess we're pretty much just accustomed to raising girls as girls, you know, to like certain things, to think in certain ways.
Well, you know, it turns out parents differ a lot in this way. some parents really cultivate the femininity in their daughters, and others, you know, the classic is a hyper-competitive dad who never had sons and turns his daughters into star athletes, you
right.
know. So there is a lot of range of possibility for any child. You know, again, I'm not saying we should or could turn boys into girls and girls into boys, but I think when you look at the things they grow up to be good at, they have a lot more possibility than traditional gender stereotypes
right.
would suggest.
So you say that there's part of the brain. Hi, by the way.
Hi.
I haven't said anything yet.
Yeah. I know Sam is hogging the mic here.
Yeah, no. I'm trying to wrap all of this around my small brain. I know. So you're saying that there is a part of the brain that is scientifically different between a boy and a girl, a small part. Because I was reading in your intro that you said with your children that you gave – you know, you exposed your daughter and your sons like to the same things as far as like blocks and, you know, and cars and things like that. And I think you said the girl naturally went towards the dolls and that stuff.
Well, to some degree, we gave them the same stuff, but not completely. You know, my daughter's the oldest, and we did get a bunch of building toys for her, Lincoln Logs and mm-hmm. Legos. On. But I have to admit, we never really gave her any trucks. they didn't appear in our house till she was about four. Uh-huh. And by then, you know, she had already been in preschool for a while and had definitely gone down the female route. But it, like I said, a toy choice is one of these things where you see differences around the world. All cultures. You'll see boys opting more for trucks and balls and active type things, and girls gravitate more towards dolls and certainly anything to do with beauty. Even young girls are really magnetized towards makeup and, you know, a pink hairbrush or something.
I was just curious if that was scientific, like if you just put them in a room together and they hadn't been exposed to, you know, how girls should be and how boys should be, if they would naturally go towards, you know, girls go towards the female things, you know, if it's actually in the brain.
Yeah, well, it's pretty hard to have a child that's never been exposed to those things.
I was going to say that, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had been to a baby
shower.
Well,
they need to start having some scientific experiments.
But no, actually, there are studies of monkeys who presumably don't have these gender roles, and they have found that one-year-old male monkeys interact less with a doll than one-year-old female monkeys, and the male monkeys went more for the, I think it was a truck in this study.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea there is that boys have a preference for things that move and are more spatial, that they can push around. And definitely boys do have a higher activity level. They just are more physically active, not as infants and not even in utero. Some people think it begins before birth, but no, it actually begins in about the second year.
Right.
And that's also where you see toy choice diverge. Actually, as infants, boys and girls both prefer dolls. They prefer to look and hold dolls because dolls have faces, and infants are absolutely magnetized to look at faces.
That makes sense.
That's where they get their caring, and that's who takes care of them.
Yeah.
So, babies like both boys and girls like dolls, but then this starts to diverge at age 2 and 3 when it's actually its most dramatic difference.
Right. Now, I would imagine there's also physical differences. I mean, when you research this and all that, I mean, do you see physical differences in the brains?
Well, you know, that's really what I was looking for. And the one thing we know for sure is that boys' brains are larger than girls' brains. Their heads are larger, and their brains are about 9% larger at birth and in adulthood and everywhere along the way.
Mm. So it stays that way.
Pardon me?
So you say it stays that way. I mean, the difference in size remains.
Yeah, boys have larger brains, and in the old days, everybody figured that explained why boys are smarter than girls. But now that view has gone out of fashion. We now know that...
Good job, men.
Yeah. There's actually not a difference in IQ, and girls actually tend to score higher in verbal-type things and boys in math and science. But when you put it all together, there's no overall IQ difference. So I think that this difference in brain size is really explained most easily by the fact that males' bodies are larger than females.
That's
even
true.
At birth.
That's true.
Yeah. Even at birth, baby boys are about a half pound heavier and a little bit longer than girls. And all their other organs are larger, too. But I can't tell you how hard it was to find data on the sex differences in the size of the liver and the kidney. While there's hundreds of papers on sex differences in the brain. So. Yeah.
This is Becky talking. Hi. I had a question about their. You were talking about the subjects in which a male or female excels in. And were there any physical pieces of evidence in the brain to explain that, or do you feel like that's more of a nurture outcome?
Well, there's no difference that we know right now in the structure of like the parietal lobe or the temporal lobe, the areas where you think would be important for language and spatial skills. It's very possible the differences are at a much more microscopic level in terms of number of synapses and how many connections per neuron there are. I think we will eventually find those differences because something has to explain the behavior, right? Mm-hmm. We don't just think out of thin air. Our brains are causing behavior, and if there's a sex difference in behavior, it has to be somewhere in the brain. But the important point is that when we're down to that synaptic level, we know that that is the most malleable part of the brain, that these synapses are forming and breaking and fusing and sprouting constantly in response to everything we experience from the moment of birth. And so, you know, if you see a difference, and particularly if you see a difference in the adult brain, which most of our understanding about male-female differences obviously come from studies of adults. They're much more willing subjects. Yeah. They'll get an MRI scanner and do all kinds of fun games for you.
Right.
But as I argue in the book, anytime you see a difference between a male, a man and a woman's brain, how do you know what the cause is? It's just impossible to dissociate nature and nurture because obviously boys and girls grow up doing very different things, exercising very, very different neural circuits.
Right, yeah. Well, this is fascinating. I mean, I could spend all day talking about this because there's so much to say about the brain, but I know your schedule is tight. We're talking to Lise Elliott, of course, and the book is Pink Brain, Blue Brain. And how long did it take to write this book?
Oh, gosh.
Years?
About twice as long as it was supposed to. There's a lot of research that went into it.
Definitely, definitely. It's full of information. Lise, thank you so much. Congratulations on the book. Good luck with it. And thank you for giving us the time this morning.
Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
They wanted to make sure that that we stick to the window that they gave us, you know,
because gotcha.
She's got interviews back to back and stuff. Gotcha. But I mean, this stuff is like really interesting, you know, and because, you know, I sometimes wonder, you know, it's like, you know, they say we only use like a small portion of the brain and stuff. And I wanted to ask her about that and stuff, because it's like, you know, I mean, you can see that nature doesn't really, you know, doesn't do things that are not necessary, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, if we have a brain this size, but we only use part of it, it's like a big
why,
you know?
Exactly. So I could be actually a lot smarter than I really am.
There you go. Yeah, but not in this lifetime. She's like, what do you say to that?
I was speechless to that one. I was going to let you have your joke and ride with it.
Yeah, well, you know, you set me up with that.
Yeah, I did.
I have to get back at you.
But you know what I was thinking about the whole time she was talking? Well, I was listening to her, but yeah. I was thinking about the being gay, you know, and just talking about, you know, when you know, your interest as a young child and everything, and just curious because, you know, they've been researching like a gay gene and all that kind of stuff, and it just had me questioning that, you know, if that was any part of, you know, the boy and girl brain, because most, you know, gay men that you talk to say that they, you know, more connected with, you know, females and female things, and so
yes and no, because a lot of times like you associate with estrogen and testosterone to some level of behavior, their behavior, you know, coming from. But they did a study on testosterone, and like gay men had like an exceedingly high level of testosterone. So sometimes their actions are quite, testosterone being something that creates a very boyish behavior.
Right.
It's like a lot more energy. They're moving, like what she was saying, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Attracted to things that moved, motors, like cars and all this kind of stuff. Testosterone draws you to this very very thing. And
that's why they have a lot of sex, gay men.
Exactly.
That wasn't a stereotype at all.
No, they have a lot because they're all willing.
I always say that. I was like, it's because you have two men in the picture.
You see, there's no gatekeeper when you have two
gatekeeper.
You
know? That's it.
I've never heard it like a gatekeeper. Cobweb. Holder.
Yeah, I mean, you you women hold the key, you know, I mean, to the gate. That's pretty much it.
I don't know. I'm constantly trying to hand it out.
No takers.
Like dangling keys. Hello.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
All right, guys. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone, commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station. Favorite talk station.
You want some in that mood? are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis. Now let's get back to Sam in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Like this one.
Which one?
But it's very abrupt ending.
I'm still amused every time I hear these commercials. Like, I'll laugh every single time.
Like an appendix.
No, I like the one this morning about the guy with the signal, the directional. Oh, I was driving by that yesterday. Brilliant. The bus was pulled over, and he wanted to get over in front of me on Laurel Canyon, and I'm like, I'm going to be nice and do it. Not only was that a dumb idea, but it was a really dumb idea. Like, he had a signal on the whole time, and then he was also going 20 miles an hour, and then I, like, yelled up all this traffic behind me, and there I was like, that's what you get for being nice.
Yeah, there you go. You can't be nice on the road.
Not in L.A.
But I got to tell you, you know, and I was telling my son yesterday, because we were driving, and he says, look at these drivers. I said, you know, actually, we have probably the best drivers in the world here, you know, at least the most courteous ones.
You think so?
Yes, I do. You go to other places in the world, it's crazy. It's a fucking jungle out there.
Yeah, I guess they are kind of courteous. They're just bad drivers.
Yeah, they are.
But you get you get all this driving experience. You're always driving here, so even the bad drivers get, average.
They're so courteous, they cut you off, but they put their signal on.
Yeah.
I'm about to run you down.
I think there's certain intersections that are not made well, like the merger from the 405 to the 101.
Oh, it's awful.
The one that's the 101 on the 110 or the 170. I don't know about that one, but
the 405 and the 10. You know,
they're just death traps, man. Yeah. I mean, they're just
cars coming from every direction. Yeah. Oh God,
you have to be a good driver.
But that's why everyone like slows down to like 5 miles an hour when like highways, you know, merge and stuff.
Yeah. I'll tell you when they slow down is when it rains.
Yes.
And I understand the first rain. Now I used to make fun of all the Los Angelinos, be like, what the hell?
It's water.
It's rain, people. But then you realize there's so much oil on the road that if you don't slow down, that first time it rains. But then after it rains a couple times, we can speed up a little bit.
Right, I know.
Except it never rains a couple times here, you know? it's really rare that it rains here.
It's probably because they're not used to it. It never rains, so they're like, what is this that's coming out of the sky?
I know.
The gods are crying!
And it's interesting, because people move here from all over the world, so you think they'd be used to it and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, did you notice outside it's starting to feel like fall now?
I love it. That's why I'm in fall gear today.
Yeah.
granted, I'll probably get up to 90 and I'll be sweating my ass off, but I was like, fall, like hat time and coat.
Yeah, I know. It's like windy and cool and stuff.
I turned off my air conditioner last night because I run it all the time, and I was like, I got on the couch to watch TV and I got a blanket. I'm like, I love this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite fall is my favorite time of the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's my favorite season.
Wow, that's
cool. Everyone's been talking about, like, my friends from the East Coast, like, the leaves are changing colors, and I've been so jealous because it's been so hot here. So last night I got really excited.
Uh-huh.
They're like, yeah, I'm sure it's fall there. Yeah.
But the weather's really been crazy. You
it
know,
has.
I mean, really hot, you know. I mean, even when it's really hot in the day, like 100 degrees, it gets chilly at night, you know.
It's crazy. Which it's like 30 degree difference.
Yeah, it's like you don't know what the hell to wear anymore, you know.
It's true. Just always bring a jacket along and be fine.
There you go. Walk around naked.
Oh, that too.
Can you imagine? Sometimes I wonder if people didn't have clothes, you know, it would be a disgusting sight for the most part.
Wouldn't we just get used to it?
I don't know if you can get used to it.
That's why I don't want to get married. I don't want to walk around naked and have my husband look at me and be like, that's a disgusting sight.
Yeah. Some people should always keep their clothes on.
That's so nice. So accepting of other people.
There you go.
A friend of mine apparently recently Googled old lady bodies.
Yeah.
Images. And she goes, don't do it, Becky. Do not do it.
What would possess them to do that?
Oh, come on. Your curiosity gets the better.
Curiosity killed the cat.
What is my wife going to look like when she's older?
Or what am I going to look like when I'm older?
Yeah. Was that a guy or a girl?
A girl.
A girl.
A woman.
Why would you want to see that?
You want to know. I look at my sisters and my mom all the time to find out what's going to happen to me.
Really?
Like, when did you get that gray hair?
Yeah, no.
How old were you?
I look at my mom's wrinkles and I'm like, okay, they're going to be there, and there. And now they're coming way too early. I'm like, I start to look at younger pictures of my mom, like to see when she started aging and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, where's your boobs? how far down are they hanging now? What's going on? Well, you had three kids. I have to factor in the children aspect.
Yeah. I'm aging quicker than my mom did, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's scary.
You have absolutely no wrinkles.
No, I really do, Sam.
Really?
I'm just far from
I
you.
I see. It's too far.
You factually, Sam, got the lucky wrinkles. You've got laugh eyes.
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
cool.
And those are that's Foxy.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, Foxy's a bit extreme.
We getting some
to call
attraction
Sam
here?
Attractive.
As soon as Sam gets a compliment, I'm like, oh, geez.
Sherry's just jealous. She's like, Jesus.
Yeah. She's like, we're not going to hear the end of it now.
That is the Sherry and Sam show.
He's going to walk around now and be like, this is Foxy Sam.
Yeah. I haven't heard the word Foxy in so many years.
I don't think anyone says it anymore. That's why I don't take any credibility to what she's saying.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
She's from Venice and she smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah, she's like, don't celebrate too soon.
She's high right now and doesn't know what she's looking at.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Like, burst my bubble, why don't you? Miss optimistic here.
She's hallucinating, Sam. Just sit back.
She's giving you a taste of your own medicine.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No, I don't... Okay, come on. Yeah, you're like overreacting.
I just like to press your buttons a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I see. Okay, you do a great job at it.
Hey, you're the one who gets defensive. You know what they say about defensiveness.
Because people say that about me all the time.
Okay, so at that point, when more than one person is saying something, it doesn't seem like it's about us anymore.
Well, what can I say? You know, I was born to two people who were pretty pessimistic. So, I had a lot to do.
No, I don't really think that you're walking around, like, grumbling and everything. But, I mean, I think your viewpoint on a lot of things, you know, is negative.
Pretty cynical.
Yeah, cynical.
That's
a good word.
Yeah.
Cynical is a good word for
you. Well, you wait till you get to my age. You will be, too.
I mean, for all the things that have happened in my life, I should be cynical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just choose not to.
Yeah, you choose not to. That's cool. She puts up these like...
No, it's true. You got the bubbly...
Oh, here we go. I was waiting for this to start.
Yeah, she puts up all these posts every morning. Like, how wonderful this morning is.
Okay, first of all, they're not that bad of posts.
That's funny. I was reading your bio, and I remember you put... Or no, I know what it was. I was listening to one of your shows, and you're like, I just came here, and I was driving here this morning, and I was thinking, this is one of my goals, to, you know, be doing radio, and
I'm
so
excited.
First of
all, do I talk like this?
It was that optimistic. Absolutely.
Thinking about the voice.
And I was thinking that I want to be like her.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't
join
ever drive anywhere at 8:30 in the morning and think anything other than, fuck, I'm tired.
Yeah.
God, why don't we do this at night?
It's true. That's really not an act. I mean, even this morning as I was driving down Ventura, I'm like looking up at the palm trees and I was just like, wow, I'm so blessed.
Yeah.
I'm blessed.
I mean, you know, I got to tell you, often I live in awe. You know, I look around and I go, wow, you know, this is an amazing world, mm-hmm. amazing life and stuff. And I love life. It's just that there's things that bother me. A lot of them.
You know what we do? I was thinking about this because I actually wrote it down. I wanted to talk about it a little bit. Is, you know, the news always focuses on such negative things because, you know, so that's all we ever see.
Positive things is not news, you know.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it's not happening in the world.
No.
I mean, I'm going to give you a perfect example because I read it and I thought it was pretty cool. This 54-year-old man who's a homeowner who rents out two places.
I thought you were going somewhere else. You said homo.
Maybe he is.
You're hearing what you want to hear.
54-year-old happy homo.
My synapses are directed towards all the wrong places.
Since we were talking about that, yeah. He owns two homes and he rents them out. And two of the people in this, I think it's in West Virginia, they both got laid off from their jobs, these two separate families and stuff. And he was already retired and he went back to work to help pay their property taxes so they can live rent free while they're trying to get back on their feet. Like, and he's just like their landlord and stuff. And he went and worked at Walgreens in the photo department and is working right now so they can get back on their feet. So he didn't want to kick them out of their house.
Wait, time out. My question is, why aren't they working at the Walgreens?
I knew someone was going
to
say that. They
you go to
no,
Walgreens.
They have a job, but they're not making enough. He's like supplementing and stuff like that.
He's So they're like living a little polygamy relationship now.
Well,
she's got two.
Wow, okay, well, take the positive
you have to
thing
put the
I'm
sex
trying
in
to
there,
show
don't you.
I'm watching Big Love right now, so I'm like all about it.
What I'm saying, these good things, people are doing good things around the world to help one another. This man just bought dinner for everybody in this New York restaurant. He was having a great day, and he went and paid the tab for every single person in the restaurant.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
And
that's
cool. Okay, well, he has money.
So how do you know about these things?
I'm reading about it.
Okay,
like,
so it is in the news.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
okay.
No, but very small articles that you won't find like
a little
anywhere. I look
on
for
the
them.
Side.
I see.
I look for them. I call them my everyday heroes.
Everyday heroes.
I wanted to have a segment of that. I think it's important to
you. So sappy.
Shut your mouth.
The Sherry... The Sherry Happy Hour.
No, it's called Sharing with Sherry.
Oh, that's a good one. Uh-huh. You've had enough time to think about
I've had my first, I put it on Facebook yesterday, my first Sharing with Sherry talk show.
I saw that.
Pitch to you.
I saw that, and I couldn't believe you put it up, actually.
That's what all my friends said. Well, because my friend who was a singer said, Sherry, if you want to have your own talk show, you got to put it out there. And I was like, okay. And so it was Cinco de Mayo, and we're like, let's put the camera on. But I forgot to clean my room, and it was like coming live from my bedroom.
And a friend is hiding behind the bed the whole time. You can't even focus on what she said.
Oh, I mean, so you go,
these are like 2 5-year-olds putting on a show.
It was the best damn talk show ever. 5-year-olds, but they put graphics in there. No, it was awful, but it was, you know, just the point. You know how many, did you see my comments and people were amused by it and entertained by it?
Yeah, yeah, I was amused too, you know.
Because 2 5-year-olds putting on a show. Come look at me.
No, but you're good. I mean, you showed that you're confident in front of the camera. I mean, you could keep your eyes into the camera and everything, which is hard to do.
Everyone thought I was drunk. Like, my cousin wrote to me and he was like, put down the Corona. And I'm like, first of all, it was Cinco de Mayo, okay? Yeah. Second of all, the Corona was a prop. It was like, I was just starting to drink it. I wasn't drunk. I'm just that giddy. Dorky.
Yeah. And then she does the whole interview with a friend behind her, right? So they don't even look at the camera.
Oh my God. She had gotten flown out here to do a show that I was doing. She sang for the show and she was on the East Coast. And so it was after the show and we were just on that natural high of performing and stuff. And so we were just like, let's do it now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't professional.
You guys
got
to go on.
You have to be,
Sherry with Jerry.
You have to make me your friend.
Oh, God.
As long as you don't mind my positive posts.
No, I need them.
Today's thought for the day was be open to everything, but have, you know, not attached to the outcome, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thought for the day. Think about
that.
So
what does that mean? That means like...
No expectations.
It means be open to life and things that happen to you.
Right.
But don't be attached to them, you know, like,
right.
You know, certain things you want because then you get disappointed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
True.
So just be open to the path, to listening, to hearing the word, you know, and the word for me is like my inner voice. There's always clarity. Like you always know when you should do something, and it's when you specifically go against that voice that's telling you that you always end up fucked up in some way. Yeah.
You always have the voice. Sometimes I sit there and I've got like either
that's when you're unclear and
nothing
that's the
going
struggle.
On.
Well, that's when you're having
or they're arguing.
Well, that's when you're having struggle between ego and spirit. You know, like your spirit is always telling you what to do, but it's like the ego side of us that is trying to fight it. So when you're unclear, that's when you take that moment and you just don't make any decisions until it's clear.
All right.
Yeah.
It's true. Why do you smile so much? Like, I've learned to make the right decisions for myself. Like, I used to not. I mean, I used to make all the destructive decisions in my life.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was fucking at 15. With a homo.
No, you're one of those girls.
I didn't know it at the time, although I should have, because we used to dance around my living room in
of
a unitard.
Course. And he was your best friend, and you guys played Barbies together.
Yes. And he had to go back home to masturbate to get hard. I should have known that.
Oh, man. And he always wanted you to turn around.
We sang Cat and... Maybe, now that I think about it.
Sorry, Jane.
We were. He was like putting on my makeup. And, you know, but at 15, I was just like, wow, I love a guy that's really into theater like I am.
Yeah.
He's into everything like you are.
Yeah, into makeup and everything.
Amazing. Whatever. We're going to be together forever.
I know. But yeah, so, you know, you make these decisions and then eventually you always find your way out of it. But you get to the point where you're like, let me just avoid all that drama and just do what I know is right, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That voice. The voice is always there.
Yeah.
The signs are always there.
So you should be like a life coach and stuff for people.
I kind of am.
Yeah, are you really?
If I showed you my inbox.
Yeah.
Like, I have this kind of, he's a friend of a friend, and I got back on Facebook once I was off of it for a while, and right when I got back on, I got this long email. So, I've known this girl for blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I didn't know I became Dear Sherry.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, I like it. And my bosses at work, anywhere I go, people just start opening up their lives to me and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we can make it a segment of the show then.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
we'll
what
have
I want
people
to
call
to
in
about.
With a problem.
Dear Sherry.
Well, I want to have a positive segment on the show every day,
a
small amount, especially since you hate it so much.
I don't hate it. I love it. It's
I think it'd be a good...
It's
good,
too much.
That's why we need it. Most people fight what
it's
they
like
really
a tickle.
Need. I see the spark in you, Sam. It's in you to want to have it and share it.
Oh, no, absolutely. No. I mean, you don't know me yet. That's the thing is that, you know, you have to.
Oh, no. I do know you. That's what I'm saying. I see it in you. But right now it's, you know, kind of blocked by all that dirt and mud and clouds. But it's under there just trying to burst out. So, oh, Becky.
Yeah. So, back to Becky.
Yeah. Well, B2B, from Chicago.
Back to Becky. She has a black boyfriend with a big dick. Let's get back there.
Yeah, let's get back to that one.
All right. What
so,
do you want to know?
How long have you been together?
We're coming up on a year.
Really?
Yes.
That's a long time.
Not too bad.
No? Have you, I mean, have you been in long relationships in your life?
Or? I have. I'm pretty good at them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Although, And my solution to, well, I've been in long relationships, but I've been a commitment phobe, so I'm always in the long relationship with the freedom to do whatever the hell I want, and you can do what you want, and it's, you know, our own business, just stay safe with the old condom.
Really?
So basically, you get steady ass, you just get taken out to nice restaurants.
I get, but here's the thing, I never, because I'm a Taurus, too, I've got that whole, like, loyalty thing down, too, I never really used my freedom.
Okay.
So, essentially, I would be in a relationship with the guy for that period, long period of time.
It was just the fear of, like, saying you're committed.
Exactly.
That freaks you out.
And one of my boyfriends, I did, like, every year we would recommit for 1 year. This was the
gateway
to monogamy.
I was like, once?
No, this was the next step. The next baby step was, like, okay, this one guy was dating is like, what do you really have against monogamy? And I couldn't really come up with a great answer. And so I said, well, all right, I'll commit to you for 1 year. And then at the end of the year, we'll recommit or just, you know, go our own ways or
reconsider
or even redesign the relationship. You know, maybe next year we'll do a free thing or like maybe you're going to be into
maybe
dudes.
Maybe next year
all
you'll change completely and be a different person.
Yeah.
A year's enough for me to find someone else.
But that worked. But this one is actually monogamous.
Really?
This is the first, like, I'm monogamous.
Can I ask how old you are?
Sure. 34.
All right.
Wow, almost the same age, yeah.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
When's your birthday?
April 25th.
Aries?
Taurus.
No, she said Taurus.
Okay, yeah. I don't listen.
But you're right on the cusp almost, right?
About 4 or 5 days from the cusp.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. I'm well entrenched in the Taurus. I'm in May
oh,
10th.
Oh, you're a Taurus as well?
Yeah, I'm a Taurus too.
Okay.
My sister's
that's why
a Taurus.
We get along so well, you know. Taurus,
really?
Leo.
Really? Because my sister and I fight like crazy.
Really?
Wait, she's a Taurus.
Yeah. You're a Leo. Uh-huh.
But that's because she's your sister, you know.
That's true. And she's a bitch. she's not listening. That's why she's a bitch.
So, I mean, how do you live with knowing that you or thinking that your sister is a bitch? I mean, at what point did that start?
When she would step on my face.
Is she older than you?
Yes. Uh-huh. No, she used to beat me up.
Really?
Yeah, like we're just such different people. Like, I mean, we would do anything for each other, but we barely speak. Like, you know, I get these text messages because my mom just moved out to Atlanta with her because my mom's like not doing well financially. And my sister like sends me these mean texts like, when did you get off the hook of taking care of mom? And how did I become responsible? And da, 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 da.
Thank God
like,
she's so far away. When did the beating stop?
That's what I want. Now it's mental abuse.
when you were in your teenage years, was she like? Were you guys
fighting?
It was
like young. I mean, she had, you know, our parents were divorced and stuff, so she took it really hard, and so she just would take it out on me.
Yeah, it was acting out.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Stuff, yeah.
And my mom used to tell me because she would like seriously step on me, like beat me up and then step on me, and my mom would be like, "Your sister's not going to be able to have children." And so to this day,
she's
I'm like I actually thank my sister for that. I don't know if I can have kids. I mean, I don't actually know, but sometimes I've thought I should be pregnant and I haven't been, you know? So I think, well, maybe I can.
It's my sister. My damn sister.
I know. Yeah. So,
the boot in my side.
And we're just such different people, like, you know, and there's just always like jealousy and sibling rivalry and all that
really?
Kind of stuff. But I think she's an amazing, like, she was
fighter.
Well, she went and got herself.
She's an amazing boxer.
She kicks really well. She was in an abusive relationship, married for like 20 years, and so someone used to do that to her. And she had a daughter, my niece, and she got out of it. And she went and put herself back into school and just became a teacher for autistic kids in the school
her.
And like is just like really come so far. And I'm actually really, really proud of her.
Yeah.
But she's still a bitch.
Yeah.
Now she's beating the autistic children. They won't tell on her.
No, I love her. I love her.
Yeah.
But Taurus, yeah, like she's just stubborn. Like, you know, stubborn.
Yeah.
You
that's
too?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
I am
are
very stubborn. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
You
so,
too?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I
yeah,
think
she's like, if I want to fuck someone else, that's it. Fuck the relationship. Monogamy for a year.
So you guys are happy, obviously.
So now we're, yeah, I mean, we are and we are not. I mean, we fight a lot, and I never know when it's going to, like.
The year's supposed to be the honeymoon time.
Well. Yeah. Sometimes it is. And, you know, we planned a trip to Peru in January as this way of being, like, we're sealing the deal till at least January. Because we're traveling together. We're sitting next to each other on the plane. We're going for a month, or, well, 3 weeks. Yeah. And so it's kind of like a...
You're going to kill each other.
I was just thinking that.
But even leading up to that, it's like we get in these fights, and it's like, well, I'm so quick to, like, the second something goes down, I'm like, that's it, get out, we're done. and then, but, like, I can't do that now, because I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to Peru with the guy. Well, we'll just work it out.
You know, every relationship to go on The Amazing Race. Yeah. Have you ever watched that? Like, that's when you really find out about somebody.
I'm sure. Well, traveling is like that, for sure. I mean, for me, it was a prerequisite. I'm like, I need to travel with someone, because I love to travel.
Yeah.
So I need to know that they love to travel and that, you know,
so
we travel well
Spanish?
Together. No.
Okay, you guys are going to kill each other. You're going to try to figure everything out.
I've done Central America and just last year, and I really enjoyed, I mean, Spanish is one of those, you can actually grasp it and kind of get around. And a lot of people speak English.
So you're going to Machu Picchu in them?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going all the way there. You might as well,
you
right?
have to. That's like, yeah, you must. That's a must-do once you're in Peru.
Yeah, I heard it's really nice there. Yeah. Wow, you're
the
lucky.
The Inca Trail. I'm going to hike that.
Wow.
When are you going?
I'm going to go in January.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm really just thinking it must be nice to take off from your life for a month.
Yeah.
I do it every once a year, and I usually do it in December, and this time I'll usually I make myself do it. I travel very cheaply.
Yeah.
I figure out the reason I picked Peru actually is because the prices to fly there right now are super cheap.
Everything's really? Cheap right now. Yeah. Like traveling, I belong to like Travel Zoo, you know, email type things, and they're always sending me these great deals, and I'm like, I'm gonna go, and then I laugh at myself. Yeah, who are you kidding?
I mean, it's amazing because you can actually go the amount that you spend by sticking around in the States. And what I do, I also sublet my apartment for the month. And that's why I always go for a month.
Mm.
And I use that money as part of my travel. And I stay in hostels or I camp or, you know, all that. And you can do it so cheap. I've averaged out in Guatemala, at least. It was cheaper to live there day by day than to be here in L.A.
Really?
Really? Well, you also have a rent-controlled place.
And it was still cheaper.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. You know, people think traveling is unattainable. It is not. That I'm here to say.
It depends where you want to go. Yeah. There's also a lot of poverty there and stuff.
The buying the ticket, the airline ticket, is the most expensive thing. And
But you guys have a savings. See, I think that's what my issue is, that I literally don't have a savings account. So if I live day to day, you know, and so I wouldn't be able to, like, take off anywhere unless I worked there.
Most people live like that.
Yeah. No, but I mean literally day to day.
No, like, most people live like that.
I don't know, Sherry. Sometimes, you know, it's up and down for me, too. Seriously. But
Yeah.
I don't know.
In this town, it's
hard. I don't know. I was offered a trip by
this is our first pessimistic moment. I found Sherry's pessimistic moment.
But here's my next moment. I was offered a trip by a Barcelonian man that wants to take me out there.
It was hot. Absolutely. You
I know, but, you know, I did, meeting a stranger in another country is a little much.
Oh, you don't know him
I mean, I've traveled to Seattle to meet a stranger.
You don't know him very well.
I mean, I've talked to him on MySpace for a while, but he's been, offering me a trip, and he's gorgeous. But problem is, there's one little problem. His status is in a relationship.
Oh, little and
he's
glitch.
Like, I know. And he's like, I live in Barcelona, but I have a place in France. We can go there.
That would be best.
Yes, you want to hear us there.
Leads us into an interesting topic, the home wrecker.
No. Those are some of the destructive things I did in the past.
And you say
really?
No now.
Yeah. No, now I won't. God, no.
Yeah.
It was done to me.
My best friend is dealing with this right now. She likes a guy, and he's in a relationship, and I'm like, ew. But then who am I to judge like that? She's like, you're just not in my shoes right now to see what's going on.
That's what I said when I was doing it, too. Yeah. Like, you're not in my shoes. I mean, and sometimes the person that you're cheating with, maybe they are the one for you, but at least, you know, be honest enough and just, like, break up with the person, and then you guys can be together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you got to think of the spouse, you know, or the partner, whatever they have, that, you know, I mean, you're helping him lie to them and cheat and everything, you know, and you definitely wouldn't want this happening to you.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Exactly.
So that's why, I'm not into cheating at all either way, you know, whether I'm in a relationship or if she's in a relationship.
With her, I thought to myself, I said, you know, look, you're giving, basically, why would he leave her if he can have her and you at the same time and it's all working out? You know what I mean? It's never going to go your way.
Yeah, but it also means he's a person with not really high values.
Right, and then he would do it to you too.
Yeah, you're acquiring him the same way
you
might
lose more and important than the one woman he's with.
Yeah. That's why I think if someone cheats once, you got to end the relationship, you know, because if they did it once, they're bound to do it again.
Really? Okay, so in a marriage, I mean, like, throughout history, culture, I mean, people have had their on the side flings.
I think you can work it out.
Years and years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
And most married people tell you that's not the worst thing that could happen.
Really?
Like after 5 and 7 years of marriage.
Really?
I
would never stay with anyone who cheated on me. I don't care how long it's been. I think on the contrary, the longer you're with them, the harder it is to
get
go through
it.
This. Because, yeah, because you're so close, you know, and there's a trust there. And that's what cheating is about, is breaking that trust, you know.
Yes, definitely.
The lying and that.
Do you think, though, a cheater can change, though? Do you think someone who cheats once, like maybe will never do it again?
No.
Do you
really think
cheating...
always cheat?
No, I don't think. I think they're capable of it.
But don't you think cheating is a result?
I don't know that they necessarily will. No, I don't think they necessarily will, but they're capable of it. They've done it once, and it tells me a lot about their value system.
See, my ex-fiancé cheated on me, and I know, like, that had killed, like, his spirit and his soul. Like, we were young, you know, and
right.
I'm not, like, making excuses. At the time, I was miserable, you know, and I was like, what a douchebag, and this. And, like, now as I'm older, I understood where it was all coming from. I understood the psychology behind it, and every relationship he's been in since, he's never once cheated on them, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. I think if you learn and...
I was going to ask you, I mean, do you think that it's not... Cheating is a result of some other illness that the relationship is having.
Yeah, all men have that illness.
Come on!
They need change. They need different.
Well, no, a lot of times it's not a physical thing. It's an emotional thing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, absolutely. There's the... I mean, like, why would you be... Or it is a lack of a physical contact.
Yeah.
But that, like, a lack of physical contact comes from something.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I have to agree that many times there's probably an underlying problem, and that's why people do that, you know? But...
yeah, because the sex with my ex was good on his side. I
yeah.
mean, you know, what he felt about me, I know it wasn't about that. No, but I mean, honestly,
what was it?
No, it was an emotional thing. I mean, he always felt like he was in my shadow. Like, we were young, so it started in high school, and it was always like Sherry's boyfriend, Sherry's this. He never had like an identity of his own. And then I went away to college, and we still kept seeing each other all the time and talking, but he finally like started finding his own friends, and people started, you know, discovering who he was, and he finally, you know, and then he met a girl, and she was just like all about him, you know what I mean? So it was like fulfilling a part of him that he never felt that he had with me,
right?
You know,
and
it wasn't anything that I did to him; it was his own insecurity and his own low self-esteem, because I never made him feel that way, right?
Yeah. Keep telling yourself.
It's the only way to get through my
days. But you guys were also dealing with separating, going to two colleges. I mean, that's
well, he didn't
like...
go to college, loser.
Yeah. Was he just hanging around? That you said he was in?
No, he actually lived with my mom.
Oh, God.
He wasn't sleeping with my mom.
No, I know, but I mean, like...
When you just said that, I was like...
You don't know that.
Okay, you disgust me. You gotta go. But my mom used to, like, open up and tell him stuff that she shouldn't... Or, like, you would tell a friend, and he would, like, come back to me, like, did you know your mom was a swinger? And I was like, oh, God!
Don't tell me that.
No, yeah. But my mom would also tell me inappropriate things like, the only thing that was good about your dad was his big dick. Oh, no! And I'm like, I don't want to know that about my dad.
No, sticking fingers in ears, la, 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 la.
Yes.
My mom told me once that she goes, some people... We were sitting there drinking coffee one night, smoking cigs at a cafe, and she goes... Some people can really dance. I can really have sex. And I went,
oh.
Like, I was just like, and I'm trying to be cool because she's sharing all of a sudden, opening up. So I'm like, wow, that's awesome.
Wow.
So what? How,
you guys are having coffee?
Rice? Yeah,
like alcohol.
No, coffee. I'll just change the subject as soon as possible.
That is kind of gross and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of
but
someone
she had
whose mom's
just
a
discovered
dad
it. It was like she...
Your mom is so weird.
Yeah. Your mom's a swinger.
Smart lady.
Yeah.
Were you a swinger ever, Sam?
Yeah. One time, but not when I had a relationship.
I was going to say, isn't that cheating, kind of?
No, I was actually single, and I was fortunate enough to find a place that would take single guys, too. You know, not that many, but they would. And, you know, because usually they only take couples to keep the balance there.
Right.
But, no, I lived in Vegas at the time, and I would go every once in a while, and
no,
I had the best time.
I wonder why you're so into strippers.
Yeah.
I'd have the best time.
I'm not into strippers. In fact, I've only been to a strip club, I think, only once.
I just meant bringing them in here.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Well, you guys had a lot of stripper guests?
Well, yeah, porn stars and shit, but we never know they are until they show up.
That's just L.A. It's
just like
LA.
Sam's answering ads on Craigslist under the porn section.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, are you a whore? Do you want to be on a radio show?
Yes.
Please only respond if you watch RedTube. And you star in it.
So what do you like to watch on RedTube? You like boy-girl thing, pretty much?
Yeah, I'm big into the cum shots and into like I mean a lot
you
of oral.
Are?
Yeah, I'm into the oral. Like I watch a lot of the oral ones. Mm-hmm. You know, girls giving blowjobs and
don't give up. Do you like the, wait a girl's giving blowjobs?
Yeah.
Really?
Come
yeah, on the face.
Yeah.
Oh, she you like that. Come on the face.
Listen, I will be. I like it in the moment, you know. And then once the moment's worn off, you're like, ah, gross. But in the moment,
well, the moment always wears off, so it's always ooh, gross.
At that point, I've already, you know, licked it all off. It's fine.
Oh, God, that's hilarious.
No, well, I mean, I...
No, but that's sexy. I mean, it's very sensual, you know, to...
Sensual. I've never heard it described that way.
It's not sensual. That's
it's not sensual. Okay, it's
well,
not.
It is if they're like, you're so beautiful with this on your face.
And who's that?
Actually, I was just about to say, I've had a guy say that to me. I got flown to Seattle, and he said, you have such a pretty face. I was like, oh, thank you. And he was like... It would look so good with my cum all over.
Oh my God.
What a pickup line. Huh?
You're like, if you only knew.
Well, I was already at his house at that point. I was like, really? Maybe we should take pictures.
I'm not really into that. I mean, I never really came on a woman's face and stuff, so I don't get it. But I guess you're looking for that humiliation type of a thing.
Yeah, face and coming to the face is off limits for me.
My sister beat me up my whole life. I figured, why
not? Yeah,
that's it. The torture.
Yeah.
No,
just
no, I think
come
it's
on
just,
me and defecate on me. And do
okay, do not spread that rumor. Okay, Samuel. I call you by your whole name. I'll know your whole name.
Thank you.
No, I don't... I don't think it's about humiliation. I just think it's just kinky, and I really enjoy like turning a man on, and some men don't like it, and that's okay. I think it's just more about the dirty talk and like just being so turned on that you just want to do everything and anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
the dirty talk is
No, I'm a big talker.
A big
like
fan.
I tell guys things that I'm going to do that I'll never do.
Really?
Like in the moment, you know. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's hot. Plus I really enjoy giving oral sex, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then,
I definitely do. I enjoy that, too, but it's the cum on the face.
Yeah.
Can you get past that?
Well, I mean,
not
but
on the
I
face,
can,
Jimmy, not in the face.
What about the mouth?
See.
Oh, yeah.
Holding your tongue out?
Yeah.
Slapping it on there.
Slapping it on there? Come on.
I've heard
the Sherry
that
shake.
This is what people like.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I told you I can get worse.
Yeah, I suppose.
No,
Sam, what do you
where do you like to come?
Anywhere but the face.
Anywhere
and
but
I actually
face.
Like I like it all over the old the hoo hoo.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid it's going to creep in there and be like, "Well, let's make babies."
With the right guy. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've never no.
Oh yeah.
No. Nope, not near anywhere near.
Haven't
there.
Done that.
It's
huh?
a baby making area. There will be none of those. There will not be a chance, an opportunity.
I like
nothing.
It on the body as well. I mean, I like it all over. I just not in the face. And I'm not like a Nazi about it. It's like there's the occasional like in the eye shot, like that you just go what?
Yeah.
Like, but to me that just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Now
you're like,
I'm like out of it. Yeah.
Now, have you heard of birth control?
What's that?
I mean, it's called her sister's
I mean, what
heel
if he
in
comes
her side.
Inside
birth control
of you,
is
you
called
know?
My face.
Oh,
and
man.
Then also you can't make ass babies.
No ass babies.
So you don't have regular sex, right?
She said there's cobwebs in there.
Oh, my friend.
But it's
my
good
friend
to know you
always
something in action.
So when I know my friend always goes, come here. He's like, let's. What does he say? Oh, it's a good story, Sherry. Something about like making a baby shower. I always find that funny.
Yeah.
Baby shower. I do have regular sex. Yes,
do.
I do.
Okay, so you're not afraid
but,
of.
But sometimes I start with the oral and, you know. I'm kind of okay at it, and so it doesn't last that long sometimes. I can usually, like, men are like, oh, I don't really come from oral sex. I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, I'm sure you don't. 30 seconds later.
Nice, Sherry, you put this on special skills.
Yeah, so your boyfriend has single friends, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm
have him listen to the show. Actually, I don't have a problem with the sex life.
Nice.
I'm just trying to find the love life.
Yeah.
But it might have something to do because I advertise what I do.
Yeah.
I don't think men can respect that. I don't think men can like come on your face and then like look at you like they love you too.
Probably not. Maybe that's a mistake. You need to look at that.
Well, or you withhold the grand finale. That's your grand finale. You got to withhold
it
a little bit.
It's
just timing.
I should at least have a first and a second act.
Yeah.
Before I do the whole curtain call.
Yeah. No, but you stay good with sex and you'll find the love, you know, because it's like men use love to get sex and women use sex to get love, you know. It's sort of like you give the other party what they want, yeah, and maybe you'll get what you want.
I think eventually, I mean, you will. Like I said, I've played all roles. I've played the good girl where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to give it up. And then a guy left me because he thought that I was too prude, mm-hmm, you know.
Yeah.
And then I've been the whore and then I'm too whorey. So it's really just, I mean, you can just be yourself. And eventually there'll be someone that will, you know, love to hug me with come on my face. That's right. All right, so let's get off.
Okay. Let's take another short break. What do you think?
Yeah, Sherry needs to go wash her face.
Yeah, she needs to wipe up.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station. Your real 24 talk hours of commercial-free programming.
When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
Very nice. Do you cup your balls too?
Constantly. Doesn't everyone? Why do men do that, by the way?
Scratch their balls?
Well, yeah. No, I understand scratching the balls, they itch.
Okay.
But why do men do that in public? Why do they think, like, we all want to see that? Like, and they don't try to be, you know, like, inconspicuous about it, like, hands down, the pants. I don't never get it.
That's a stereotype if I ever
no,
heard one.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Most men scratch my balls in public.
That you think you don't. Because every man that does it says, I don't do that. And I'm like, how do I know you just did it?
How did I know?
Well, if your crotch itched, wouldn't you scratch?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine
at least turn
not.
Around.
I pick my underwear off constantly.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too, but then I realize I have a thong on.
Sure, that's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Pulling your undies all the time.
Yeah, sure, that's a
cool
sight.
No, I meant her. Pulling it out.
I was like, rude.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see you pulling your pants. So. Anyway, that's beside the point. So you're going to Peru.
Yes.
And what else? I wanted to bring up the Roman Polanski thing.
Oh,
okay?
You were very upset last
night. I'm very
about
outraged about this shit. You know, I mean, apparently now Hollywood thinks that he's okay, that he's a good artist and he makes great films. Uh-huh. Therefore, he shouldn't
they should
be.
They just forget that he fucked 13.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And let's forget that he ran away
right.
from the law.
Right.
You know,
right.
which I think is extremely serious. You know, and that's why I'm saying. I mean, it's one of the most heinous crimes you can do, mm-hmm. and you run away and then people are saying, no, you should be let go.
Well, what is their... I haven't read much about it, but what is their defense? Like, why are they saying that he should be?
That's what I'm saying.
Well,
because he's a good filmmaker.
The charge...
I mean, it's Hollywood that's
film,
doing
you can
this.
You screw whoever you want.
Like, yeah.
I don't get that.
No,
I don't
well,
get
okay,
that.
Wait. You say it's the most heinous crime.
Right.
Pedophiliac you're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
But he, wasn't his more of a statutory rape situation? She was a willing participant.
At 13, you don't have the power to have consent. I mean, you're not smart enough to have consent. You're not mature enough, you know, and especially when you're with an older
that.
Man.
I debate that.
Okay.
I mean, I feel as
you
a 13-year-old woman, I was in eighth grade. I felt like I was making all sorts of choices. They might not be the wise.
Of course.
Right. You're not making wise choices even when you're 18, 19, and 21 years old.
Right. But you usually stay with people your own age, you know, or at least close.
But even if you
this was a grown man.
I know where you're going with this, but I was going to say, even if you're making a decision that is conscious and being like, yes, I know what I'm doing, I'm sleeping, the older person still knows that your brain is not developed yet, and normally you probably wouldn't make that decision.
Some
so that's their power over you.
Some crazy eccentric artist's brain is about equivalent of a 12-year-old,
but that doesn't
I would
make
say.
It right, though. Like, he is the adult.
But it also doesn't make it the most heinous crime.
I think it is. I don't know. I mean, it's taking advantage
here,
of a child.
I just think that to take advantage of a child is heinous. But I feel as if, I mean, there was a lot of history there. Didn't they actually get married?
No.
Didn't she go over there and end up, she shot the movie with him and then went over? I mean, I don't know
the history behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the details I'm not sure
I
about.
I just heard 13-year-old and I'm like, wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, and this was in the 70s. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
We're all like,
what's
we're
your
all
point?
Like telling half stories here.
I mean, come on.
It was okay to fuck little
in
girls
the
50s, back then.
Because you're getting married by age 17 and 18 years old.
Yeah.
13 is only a couple of years from that. And
13 is young. Look, when we look at we look overseas at like Islamic countries and they marry off their daughters at that
yes.
age, we say it's terrible.
No, I never did.
No, you never did.
I never did.
Okay. No, I mean, you know what? I
why
see
don't you
a
go
point
hug a tree?
Because,
yeah. Listen here, Sherry. I see. I understand what you're saying. The pedophilia take advantage of, and I didn't even read the Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Seems like none
update.
Of us really do.
Yeah,
know
like,
exactly
are
what
they,
happened.
Yeah.
But tell us what they are saying. They want him back in the country.
They want the police to let him go. Yeah.
But
they
their
have
but their
him
defense
in custody right now?
But their defense is that he's a great filmmaker. Like that's what their defense is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I can go commit any crime as long as I make good film.
And,
I'm good.
Or as long as you're great in your profession.
Oh, yes. I am.
but you know,
that's the profession that's going to get you in trouble.
But let's say that the regardless of the crime, okay, the guy runs away from the law, Okay?
Yes.
So, I mean, that makes it worse than if they just arrested him and put him in jail. I mean, you're running away,
right,
you know, after
right.
we trusted you to be around.
Right.
And
so isn't that a crime within itself?
Yeah. It so, yeah. I mean, why is he special and other people are not? You know, I mean, when they catch fugitives and shit like this, we're happy to see that happen.
Yeah. You know? Celebrities always get, I mean,
yeah,
hello,
that's
OJ.
What I'm saying, you know, OJ.
Yeah.
yeah. But he, yeah.
I mean, he finally just got, you know.
Yeah.
What did he do? Try and get into the country, and then they grabbed him and said, "Hey, you skipped out."
He went to some film festival in Switzerland.
Oh, and Switzerland's neutral, so we were able to go snag him.
They just finally decided to get him. They said that he's been making appearances everywhere, and all these years they could have gotten him, and
now they just decided.
Now that they did, but they said that they knew exactly when and where and all that. That's what I read.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't know. Okay.
I don't know.
They had to wait for him to be somewhere where there's an extradition agreement or
treaty.
Right.
I was going to say, and maybe maybe.
Yeah, so with Switzerland.
Hello, politics and me, I don't understand it.
Well, Switzerland is that neutral ground,
it
so
is.
Perhaps
right.
it was they were legally able to attain him at the point.
Yeah, well, if he's a criminal, they have the every authority to arrest him, you know. It doesn't matter if they're neutral.
I just don't get where they're saying that he should be set free. Like, I don't get what person's brain does that. Like, how are they...
Yeah, I mean, what are they thinking? That's what I'm saying, you know?
Without a trial, they just want him to go free.
All the filmmakers are just saying, that they think that
just
it's ridiculous.
Just let him go free,
I mean, whether you think, like, the pedophilia... is right or wrong. The fact is that, I mean, he did commit a crime by,
absolutely.
You
I
know,
feel like
fleeing.
He should have a trial like anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just saying, let him go.
Yeah.
I'm just...
I can't even find
him.
The story.
They're just backing him because all of Hollywood sticks together like the Church of Scientology.
Yeah, you know, and they're like, I mean, it's like above the law, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it doesn't apply to us. Mm-hmm. And that's what irritates me about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you were irritated.
especially Woody Allen, for crying out loud, you know?
The biggest
fucking pedophile ever. You know, he's like, you know? Of course
he's
going to...
I see my stepdaughter.
Yeah.
Let him go.
If they're old enough to pee, they're old enough for me.
There you go.
What? Did I just... Sherry, stop saying that. I'm just going to blame shit on you.
That's okay. Yeah. I say stupid things like liquor in the front, poker in the rear.
Poker, I don't even know her.
you're a boy like me.
No, but it's a turn on when women like sex a lot. You know, I mean, even to the point where she says, 13 years old is not that bad. I would have enjoyed it. but you know, that's the thing, though. I mean, we do have a double standard, because when boys, when they're 13 and a woman seduces them, you know, it seems like okay. Although society still,
frowns
on it. No,
there's still, like, when the teachers, you know, those teachers that are going to jail and stuff, or, you know,
all
the woman teachers.
Exactly.
Don't you love it? It's like the priests
fantasy,
and the teachers.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fucking fantasy for
every kid. What 13-year-old boy wouldn't want to get seduced by a hot teacher?
Exactly.
It's hot for teacher. Yeah. There's a song about
it. Yeah, I mean, I was fucking fantasizing about it when I was in class, you know. Yep. I had some hot teachers and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, you know, I think it's probably hotter when you're older and you look back at it
in
the moment. Kind of like gum on the face. Totter when you think about it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a turn on for every kid to be seduced by an older woman. Yeah. You know, I mean, I used to fantasize about it all the time.
But I mean, even when we were talking about Mackenzie Phillips yesterday and being 18 years old, even though she was of legal age, I still think that, you know, it was still wrong. Like, what? I mean, well, it was her dad. Of course, it was wrong. But I mean, that, you know, that she wasn't even thinking clearly. You know, that's still, like, even though the age thing, but it was still a power thing over her. You know, being the dad and all.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And all the drugs that he gave her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Then now you're talking incest on top of everything else. Like,
but I mean,
no,
it was consensual though.
Yeah. She claims it was consensual.
She said it was consensual after years. Yeah, like that was the big controversy behind it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying even though she was of age to make the decision, I still think there was, you know, that power thing that her dad had over her.
Yeah.
You know?
Obviously. I mean, you can't ignore it. You know, you can't ignore the fact that he's her father.
Right. Well, raising her. I mean, same with Woody Allen. He's basically raising this girl.
Right.
Roman Polanski wasn't raising the girl.
And the kids trust you, you know? I mean, even at 18, you know, they trust you, you know?
They look up to you, and then plus, like we said, he was feeding her drugs from the time she was like 11 or something.
Yeah.
Wow. So, she was fucked. Yeah. Yeah, literally, in the head.
Yeah.
Literally and
figuratively.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
She was everywhere.
So it's good we can laugh about these things, you know? Because otherwise it's too terrible.
No, it's true.
To think about it. You know, but what about you? Do you have a book in you think?
A book in me?
Yeah.
I'm sure I can be going up somewhere.
You've
That's
had
funny.
An exciting life.
I am doing a piece tonight. Mm-hmm. Can I plug my little show?
Of course.
I'm performing tonight at the Comedy Central space, which is right on Santa Monica and Hudson, the corner. There at 8 o'clock. It's the Best of Right Club, and it's all about families tonight. And it's all about five different actor comedians. Doing five different stories, each about 10 minutes apiece. And they're all family-based.
Really? So you do comedy and stuff, too, huh?
Yeah, and it's comedy drama. It's like, it's the dramedy, you know what I mean, piece.
Yeah,
because it doesn't necessarily have to be funny, but it's a personalized story. It's me talking about me and my, Sherry, you do a great job with this.
It's my whole home show's about my family.
And
fucking busboys.
Nice. You need to get with the right club.
Booze and busboys is the name.
Nice.
Go ahead, anyways.
Anyway, so it's at 8 o'clock tonight, and it's at the Comedy Central backstage, or the Comedy Central stage theater space.
That's
very cool.
Yeah, 8 o'clock tonight. And it's, this is the best part of it all. Mm-hmm. Comedy Central sponsors it, so it's a free show.
You just have to
get in, which they will eventually.
What do you have to do to get in?
you can make reservations.
Who do you have to sleep with?
Exactly. I'm first online.
Actually, you have to. Yeah. I was going to say...
She's reaching in her purse.
I am. Because I was going to say, you can make reservations on this line, and I'll just give you the phone number right now for anyone who's listening.
Okay.
It is...
How many days is it running?
It's just tonight. Yeah, it's just tonight.
Are you like in a troupe? Like a comedy troupe? Or is this a theater group?
It's a group.
I mean, you didn't just like audition for this randomly. It's like you guys always work together type thing?
Exactly.
Got it.
Mm. Yeah. Call this number, 323-960-5519, and it's the Comedy Central reservation line.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Everybody's an actor and a comedian in this town.
Yep, and a writer. It's most
pretend that they are. Like
it's a lot of writers, and you would love it.
Sure. I was really against theater because it's what I was trained in my whole life, so when I moved out to L.A., I was like, I am so much better than theater. I'm going to do TV and film. And finally, I got the picture that I'm not going
to
do TV and film
back
right
to
now.
Theater.
And so I joined a theater group, getting very excited, and then it like shut down within a month. I was like, wait a second. They lost their funding.
Theater's
and everything.
Rough in this town, for sure.
Well, no one goes.
Yeah, no one goes.
Yeah, I did a thing once, and like three people showed up.
Really?
I was like, yeah.
That's terrible.
And no, it's sad, because there's some really good actors out here, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are usually in theater and not on TV and film.
There's some really great theater out here, and there's some really shitty theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
sure.
So when you start hitting the bad stuff, it turns you off, and then you don't go, and then you know.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of doing that too.
Yeah. Plus, I'm watching reality TV all the time, so trying to get me out of that.
There you go.
Yeah, in case you haven't noticed.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Every
the
second
hill started.
Reference.
Well, The Hill started last night, and I got really excited. I was like, yes, I'm back. I found out all the stuff of, like, even driving here today, they were talking to Bruce Jenner, and he was talking about his son, Brody, and I put all the pieces together. I was like, oh, he's part of the Kardashians and The Hills, and all of a sudden, I got so excited. I'm like, you're pathetic, Sherry. Like, you're, like, piecing reality shows together now and how everyone's related, and it, like, excited me. Sad.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Becky, do you have anything you want to plug other than that? Do you have a website?
Your butt.
People should go
my
to?
Oh, God.
We do have butt plugs here.
You can find out what stuff that I'm doing on BeckyWallstrom.net. I'll say that.
Okay.
Spell it.
Sell it. That's
spell
it.
Spell it. No, spell it.
Oh,
spell
Becky Wahlstrom, BeckyWahlstrom.
Dot net.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful with that one.
Because it'll tell me. It'll tell you.
Because then all the .coms get all your traffic. You know, you have to be really be careful with the .net ones.
Oh, is that right? I don't run that one. It's, it's going.
No,
it's
all I'm saying is, you know, if somebody wants to look you up, they'll probably go for the .com. You know?
Yeah,
I have BeckyWahlstrom.com too. I just don't update it as well as the .net is.
Yeah,
updated.
I see. Okay.
Don't forget boyfriends, firemen, friends.
You got it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
you're definitely
so
a lot of fun. And good luck tonight with the show and everything.
Break a leg.
Hopefully there'll be more than three people there.
Oh, no, it's going to be sold out.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's free.
It's free.
It'll be sold out.
Yeah. So call back.
Free equals happy. No money equals depression.
Sam. Sounds good. Okay, Sherry, thank you again.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Have a great day,
we'll
everyone.
We'll see you all tomorrow.
Now it's time for the best morning show on radio, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.